ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Maitreya uvacha.
Maitreya uvacha.
Iti swamatu niravajam ipsitam.
Iti swamatu niravajam ipsitam.
Nishamya pumsam apavagavardhanam.
Nishamya pumsam apavagavardhanam.
Dhyavinandhyatma vatam satam gatir.
Dhyavinandhyatma vatam satam gatir.
Babhasarisha smita sabita nana.
Babhasarisha smita sabita nana.
Maitreya uvacha.
Maitreya uvacha.
Samatu niravajam ipsitam. Nisamya pumsam apavargavardhanam. Teya vinandhyatma vatam satam gatir. Babhasa isha smita sobhitanana.
Babhasa isha smita sobhitanana.
Maitreya uvacha.
Maitreya uvacha.
Maitreya said.
Maitreya said.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus. Samatu.
Samatu.
Of his mother.
Of his mother.
Nidavadyam.
Nidavadyam.
Uncontaminated.
Uncontaminated.
Ipsitam,
Ipsitam,
desire,
desire.
Nishamya,
Nishamya,
after hearing,
after hearing.
Pumsam,
Pumsam,
of people,
people.
Apavarga,
Apavarga,
cessation of bodily existence,
cessation of bodily existence.
Vardhanam,
Vardhanam,
increasing,
increasing.
Diya,
Diya,
mentally,
mentally.
Abhinandya,
Abhinandya,
having faint.
Atmavata. Atmavata.
Interested in self-realization.
Interested in self-realization.
Satam.
Satam.
Of the transcendentalist. Gati.
Gati.
The path.
Path.
Babhase.
Babhase.
He explained.
He explained.
Ishat.
Ishat.
Slightly.
Slightly.
Smita.
Smita.
Smiling.
Smiling.
Shobita.
Shobita.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Anana.
Anana.
His face.
His face.
Translation by His Divine Grace. For the A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Maitreya said, after hearing of his mother's uncontaminated desire for transcendental realization, the Lord thanked her within himself for her question, and thus his smiling face. Sorry. Maitreya said, after hearing of his mother's uncontaminated desire for transcendental realization, the Lord thanked her within himself for her questions, and thus, his face smiling, he explained the path of the transcendentalists who are interested in self-realization. Responsively, Maitreya said,
Maitreya said,
after hearing of his mother's uncontaminated desire for transcendental realization, the Lord thanked her within himself for her questions. Thus, his face smiling, he explained the path of the transcendentalists.
He explained the path of the transcendentalists.
Who are interested in self-realization.
Who are interested in self-realization.
Devahuti has surrendered her confession of material entanglement and her desire to gain release. Her questions to Lord Kapila are very interesting for persons who are actually trying to get liberation from material entanglement and attain the perfectional stage of human life. Unless one is interested in understanding his spiritual life or his constitutional position, and unless he also feels inconvenience in material existence, His human form of life is spoiled. One who does not care for these transcendental necessities of life and simply engages like an animal in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating has spoiled his life. Lord Kokila was very much satisfied by his mother's questions because the answers stimulate one's desire for liberation from the conditional life of material existence. Such questions are called apavarga vardhanam. Those who have actual spiritual interests are called sat, or devotees. Satam prasangat. Sat means that which eternally exists, and asat means that which is not eternal. Unless one is situated on the spiritual platform, he is not sat. He is asat. The asat stands on a platform which will not exist, but anyone who stands on the spiritual platform will exist eternally. As bird soul, everything exists eternally, but the asat has accepted the material world as his shelter, and therefore he is full of anxiety. Asat grahan, the incompatible situation of the spirit soul who has the false idea of enjoying matter, is the cause of the soul's being asat. Actually, the spirit soul is not asat. As soon as one is conscious of this fact and takes to Krishna consciousness, he becomes sat. Satamgati, the path of the eternal. It's very interesting. Pardon me. Satamgati, the path of the eternal, is very interesting to persons who are after liberation, and his lordship Kapila began to speak about that path. Om Ajnana Timiran Dasya Gyanam Dana Shalakaya Chakshumritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurumaye Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopisya Stapitam Yena Bhutale Samhikyapadamayam Tadachyam Adamantikam Mukham Kavati Vachalam Pangumangai Yagyavadam Aham Gandhi Shri Gurumji Natharinam Pancha Kampa Trivyascha Vasyam Divya Imacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedanta Shri Nasari Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama So this is the series of devotional service, and prior to this chapter we heard of the emancipation of Kadama Muni, and before that the lamentation of Devahuti. So we're at a point where we know that in Bhagavatam there's different conversations going on, whether it's the sages at Namaisharanya, headed by Shonaka Rishi, or conversations between Maitreya, Vidura, Sukadev Goswami, and Maharaj Parikshit. So Sutta Goswami, the sages of Maharaj, and by Sutta Goswami. So here, we are actually hearing this conversation that Maitreya is having with Vidura. Vidura has been asking questions about the personalities Devahuti and Kadama Muni, and wanted to hear about how they lived their Krishna-conscious life, a life attached to service and surrender to Krishna. So this section particularly is after Kardama Muni has left and Devahuti has approached Kapila Dev, who happens to be her son, but the Supreme Personality of God is approaching the Lord. And in a state, as she's presenting herself as to being in a state of disturbance from material senses, and because of that disturbance, being attached to material sense gratification or to enjoying or exploiting the material energy, she has become disturbed and has fallen into the abyss of ignorance. So she's approaching Kapila Muni with this thought. Of course, we understand her elevated stature, the yoga lakshana, one who's perfected the yoga practice. She is presenting these prayers, of course, highlighting the importance of, as in the prayer book it begins, with two very important points that not only should we strive for spiritual, our liberation, liberation meaning our understanding that we are servants of Krishna, not necessarily immersion into Brahman or becoming one, but our actual liberation is understanding ourselves as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. We are His servants. So apart from understanding that, we also should be the acting word that is used, that the living entity should be should feel the inconvenience of human existence. So when that is unpacked, of course, we understand that this world is not a comfortable place and we shouldn't try to make a permanent stay here. The happiness and the distress, it comes and goes, and we have no control really over that. So Devahuti is posing this question of how, my dear Lord, can I take shelter of you so that my material senses are purified and I can use my spiritual senses in your service. So in the Prabhupada here is mentioning that she has surrendered her confession of material entanglement and she has a desire to gain release from the clutches of material existence. So we all have desire. Desire is a natural trait of the jiva, of the living entity. Of course, when that desire becomes contaminated, it leads to bondage in this material world. So, in this material world, although we are of a superior energy, when we get into contact with the material energy, we are covered over by that energy, temporarily covered over. So, in that state, it is very, very difficult for us to see clearly who we are in relation to Krishna, and also in relation to Krishna's energy, the external energy. Krishna explains that his energy is very, very difficult to overcome in his famous verse. So explaining that his energy is very difficult to overcome. So yes, the material energy is Krishna's energy that allows the living entity to become bewildered, and by so doing, hopefully wake us up from this state of slumber for our forgetfulness of Krishna. So the material world itself is not just created haphazardly. It is for us. It is built on our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So when Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita also approaches Krishna, in the mood of what is it actually that is impelling me to act, even though sometimes I wish I would not be acting in such a way. And Krishna is explaining that it is lust only, the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So this lusty propensity, and not lusty propensity doesn't just mean being lusty for the opposite sex. That's just one narrow way of looking at it. But lusty propensity means our desire to enjoy and exploit the material energy. Basically, our desire to live separately and independently of Krishna. So that is lusty desires, and these lusty desires have to become eroded from our consciousness, from our heart. They have to become purified through knowledge and through practical service to Krishna. So these desires are manifold, of course. This body that we have, this, we could call it a bag, this body that we have is, within it is built many unpleasant byproducts. So just by having a material body, we know we're going to go through the threefold miseries. We know our body is going to grow for some time, it is going to stay, we will produce byproducts, then slowly start vanishing off, and then, as they say in the Christian faith, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, then the material body is gone, and the soul has to make an exit. So the material body itself is a bag of disasters, because nothing stays as it is for very long. Some of us might relate to this in terms of the defects we experience on a daily basis. Now, we should try to, how I often try to meditate on this is when I'm really trying to enjoy the material energy, and I try and put it in perspective, just how long can I actually enjoy it with this body? And if it's such a temporary phase, why strive so hard to actually try to enjoy it? Why waste my time and energy trying to enjoy this body that is going to disappoint? So some of us can't hear properly or see properly, right? That's annoying, that's a disturbance. Some of us, our minds fluctuate like the Melbourne weather. One minute you're steady, you're sunny, you're happy, then the next minute you're like a gale force wind raging on anything or anyone. Right? So our minds are disturbed. Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya hiyukajitaha. These are just the basic qualities of being in the material existence, having a material body. Our minds are disturbed. That someone steps on you, someone doesn't look at you properly, someone takes your seat on the tram, someone cuts in front of you when you drive, there's rage. Right? Mentally, there's, or verbally, we can see how the uncontrolled senses, just like serpents, just come out and want to spit poison at you. So the body has so many things, the senses attack us on a daily basis, whether it's our hearing, our mental state. Other living entities don't really understand that we're the center of the universe. Right? So sometimes we see ourselves as extremely important, and because other living entities, be it human beings or animals, or the smallest bacteria, don't understand that we want to enjoy and be peaceful and happy permanently, through material sense gratification. And when that doesn't happen properly, you try by any means necessary to deal with that. Whether it's losing our youth, you know, that luster. People try to be 16 forever with this body that is decomposing at every step. So we try so many things, makeup, Botox, plastic surgery, creams, different creams of different varieties. We try so many things to deal with the upsetting fact of what a material body actually is. It is not that pleasant. So how can we keep striving to enjoy something that is so unpleasant? But the truth of the matter, we actually have to accept that, yes, this is actually, we're in a handicapped situation. The body is not that great, or at least not as we want it to be. So this doesn't mean then we go, we leave this class and then we just, you know, we trash the body, or we just look at other bodies as, ugh, ugh, look at that body, a bag of, you know, bile and mucus, ugh, look at this body. No, that's not the point. The point is that we realize what the reality actually is, that this body is temporary. And if we try to focus all our life's attention on satisfying something that is very, very temporary, something that is always changing at every step, whether it's mentally, physically, or otherwise, emotionally, then we're actually wasting our time. Then we'll see a rise in our anger, envy, greed, illusion, our madness prevails. But we get angry when our lusty desires are not fulfilled. Whether it's for name, fame, beauty, or whatever it might be, when our desires are not fulfilled, we get angry and frustrated in life. And that comes out in our environment. So without understanding how to please the self, We go on this rampage in life, just trying so many different things to make us happy. Trying so many different things to satisfy the senses, which Krishna has stated in his manual book, the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has stated that it is very, very difficult to, the material desires cannot be satisfied. We will never be satisfied with the body, with the material body. And sometimes people argue, yes, I can be satisfied, but actually we cannot. Because the material body, it is something that is ever changing. Right? It's decaying. Time is taking away the luster, the youth, the potency, the knowledge, the memory. Time takes all of that away. So to think that we can be satisfied in that body, then it's an illusion. It is Maya. It is not real. So we begin to try to, we have to begin to understand that human existence or existing in a material body is a great inconvenience, as Devahuti is pointing out. It is actually a great inconvenience because we are so limited in what we can do. We're so limited in how we can advance. If you look at things now and how they are, we haven't really advanced that much into Kali Yuga. It's just been 5,000 years. And if you just look at the headlines in the world or just in Melbourne, you'll be shocked. What's going on? Well, it's just, it's in your face. So things will start getting degraded very, very quickly. And we have to understand that, yes, as Prabhupada mentioned, this is not a place for a gentleman or a gentle lady. It is, there's this great English saying, survival of the fittest. No one is fit to survive in this material world without spiritual knowledge. So two things are happening. Devahuti is letting us know that, yes, the existence that we have, this material existence, is such a great inconvenience. However, we can get relief from this material existence by becoming interested in our spiritual existence. By focusing on our spiritual existence, we can deal with this world. And that is what Krishna actually says in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is giving a manual how to live in this material world and still be a transcendentalist and still be a yogi by taking to the process of Krishna consciousness, in which our desires will be fulfilled. But because we've had a history of our desires not being fulfilled in the material world or struggling to fulfill our desires, we become frustrated with Krishna, or we want Krishna to show us the goods before we actually qualify ourselves to receive. So sometimes we want prema bhakti, but we're still just dealing with the anarthas in the heart. We want Krishna to show us, okay, you said you if I surrender unto you, you will deliver me and I should not fear, so show me something. That's why I know many persons, when they go to all these huge gatherings in America, these big churches, I don't know if you've ever heard of Joel Osteen. These big, big preachers, Christians, of course. And they, they deliver these huge sermons, and people want this quick fix. I have this problem in my life. Or it's very common in Africa, in different countries. You go to this place and you're going to get hit with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever been to these churches. You have something wrong with your physical body or your emotional mental state. You go and see Pastor so-and-so, and you know what, if you've ever been to a black church, it's very fiery. It's just like singing and dancing, praise God and hallelujah. Yet, the Spirit is with you. So you come forward and the preacher comes, or the priest, whatever they call them, touches your head, and then you fall down, or you're talking in tongues, and it's a miracle, he's been cured, and oh my gosh. Right? We want that instant. Krishna, show me that you're going to do this. You're going to get rid of my material desires. You're going to give me Krishna bhakti, and you're going to make me pure and ecstatic. And it, the list goes on. We want that touch. Touch my forehead so it happens. Right? But, Krishna bhakti is not that cheap. Becoming pure in itself is not a cheap process that happens overnight or with the touch of a palm to someone's head. It's not a cheap process. The entire process itself of Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that you go through all these experiences of clearing of the heart, realizing slowly that we are parts and parcels of Krishna, that everything around us also belongs to Krishna, that He is the proprietor, He is the maintainer, that we are eternally His parts and parcels. So getting that realization from within, by the mercy of the Guru and the Super Soul, we grow in Krishna consciousness. Not that one day there's just a bubble on our, we have this aha moment. We have realizations, yes, but these things are gradual and they're revealed in the heart when we have been sufficiently purified by chanting the holy name attentively and as purely as we can, and by engaging in practical service to Krishna. And it is when you combine these two things that really we start seeing through Shastra. We start seeing when Shastra says, from Nama Rupa Guna Lila, from the name comes the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, and then we understand these pastimes. Then our conviction becomes strong, our faith becomes strong. It is not such a cheap process. So Devahuti inquires into this spiritual life, how to surrender the lotus feet of Krishna, because she has experienced that the material world, the material senses, have not really given any type of reward. They have given, possibly, maybe we experienced some misery, some frustration. So similarly, there's a wonderful verse which I heard the first time I read this verse, a few years ago when I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, this verse stuck in my head. And every time I think I have these material desires, I go back and read this chapter because it really, this chapter in the CC has really opened my eyes and shown me what the reality of my material existence is. So I thought I could share that with you. It's from the Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 16. Now this is a chapter that Lord Chaitanya, sorry, before this chapter we were hearing about the sweetness of Krishna. This is a chapter before this, and this chapter is entitled The Process of Devotional Service. So in this chapter Lord Chaitanya is explaining devotional service and also explaining different other yoga processes, Karmakanda, Jnana section, mystic yoga, explaining how we should give up all these processes because they are nothing without bhakti. Unless you're performing bhakti, these other processes will not yield any permanent benefit. So Lord Chaitanya is explaining about what material affinity does to us, what material contamination does to us, and what is our mentality as we struggle through material existence. So it is text 16. Kamadinam katina katida paritarjubne deshash Tesham jata maina kamina natrapana pashanti Usriye tan ataya yupate sampratam labdabudis Tramayata sharanam abhayam mam yutsavatma dasya. O my Lord, there is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires. There is no limit. On a daily basis, I could have told you how many plans I had to enjoy materially. Of course, they all got smashed by the Krishna through time. Although I have rendered them so much service, they have not shown any mercy to me. There is no mercy in the clutches of material energy. When I say normal, it means whether, you know, you're struggling financially or whatever, the material energy shows no mercy. There are no vacations. It's school holidays. In the material world, there are no vacations. And no one is, no one has, no one has a free pass. We're all going to get old. We're all going to get diseased. We're all going to leave the body. That's a fact. It shouldn't be like a scary thing. Oh my gosh, it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. Let's just deal with it. I have not been ashamed to serve them. Them meaning our material desires. Think how much we strive for material success in an honest way. How much energy we put into gaining material success. And compare that to how much energy we're giving to Krishna and trying to gain spiritual success. And, oh, that's too much, you know, fast, I can't, you know, the festival, I can't fast, and oh, I have to do, oh, 2 hour service, oh, that's too much, and, you know, I have to watch out, I'm going to be burnt out, and, you know, we are so expert in making excuses to serve Krishna. But if we look deep down inside, and this is something I do all the time, how was I enthusiastic in my material pursuits? Whether it was raining, whether I just came back from the dentist, whether I wasn't feeling well, I would go out and try to get my material desires fulfilled. Are we cheating, Krishna? We want the best, but we're not really willing to put in the work. And, you know, just one life can't put in the work. So, I'm always ashamed of how I used to strive for material success. You know, I wanted to be a professional tennis player, so until the age of 19, it was nothing but tennis, 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 tennis. Eat, sleep, tennis, tennis, tennis. School on the side, but eat, sleep, tennis, school, that was it. So hours at the gym, practicing, traveling, all that. University, maintaining the quote, yes, I went to this university, you know, I put in the hours, etc. I want to become, you know, a politician. Yeah. So I put in the work, I put in the hours. And then come to Krishna consciousness, oh yeah, study your bhakti shastra, do this and then, you know. When I get the time and how I fit everything in, and when I get time to just take care of myself. So many excuses the mind comes up with. But when it came time for my material desires, oh, get out of my way, I'm focused. So we should give, if not even 10 times more attention to our spiritual practice than what we did in the material world, when we're still gladly swimming in it. That we can hide anything else. Krishna is just looking for that surrender, because here we're hearing about Devahuti's surrender after she's seen how these, how human existence is so inconveniencing. I have not been ashamed to serve them, even as desires, nor have I even desired to give them up. We know that story. I think it was Kanam Kanam, so we sometimes tell the story. There's a man, he's holding on, I can't remember it clearly, he's holding on to something. This is us, we hold on to our material desires, whether it's our body, our bank account, or whatever it might be, gross or subtle. We're holding on, and Krishna says, no, just let go, I'm right behind you. I'm always with you. I will protect you. And we're like, can I see how you're going to do that? Can you show me your hand, or if I'm going to fall, what am I going to land on? Can you show me like a net, or just show me a sign? While we're trying to surrender, but we're still holding on to our bodily designations. I am this, I am that. We're still holding on, but we want Krishna. But Krishna says, you can only come to me if you're pure. No uncontaminated hearts can actually access Krishna. Because Krishna is actually looking, he wants our bhakti. But if we keep our heart hidden, we give our heart to our material desires, Krishna is not interested in what's in your bank account or what you look like or etc. He's interested in your bhakti. But if we're giving that to something else, then
something from today.
O my Lord, O head of the Yadu dynasty, recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened, and now I am giving them up. While we know intelligence is there to help us discriminate, and by the mercy of Gauranga, we get in touch with a devotee, somehow or the other. The devotees are so merciful that they give us a card or a book or something they give us. Then we come to Krishna. So somehow or the other, our intelligence becomes woken up when we hear the facts. Sometimes we're very shy to share with people, yeah, you know, our material desires will get purified. And when we practice Krishna consciousness, you will feel that joy from within, and you'll want to extend it to the world around you. Now, sometimes we're a bit shy to meet Krishna, but when people actually hear Krishna's personality and how he deals with his devotees, they become very enlightened, very, very interested in the personality of Krishna. So by the mercy of Krishna's devotees, our intelligence actually becomes woken up. So we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and various other books by Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada took the time out to write these books so that we can read them and distribute them. I remember myself, I didn't necessarily stumble across a temple or born in a devotee family, but it was through a friend who got a book on the street, and that friend of mine then invited me to come to a temple. I don't know what the heck a temple was. I thought maybe he was Jewish. I thought maybe we were going to a temple, a synagogue. Okay, this is interesting. But it was a devotee who was very merciful. And not only was it a devotee who was practicing, my friend was not even chanting Hare Krishna or following the rites. Nor was I. So we were very deep in our material existence. But a devotee mercifully decided one day to go out on the street. He got a book. And it was interesting. It's about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. And even just the terms were beautiful, so poetic, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I was like, what? I had never read anything like that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. Our dormant love for Krishna. Dormant love. You know, my vocabulary was like the consciousness probably of like an ant or something. Because all these words, the way Prabhupada was writing his books was just so attractive. So when I would read his books, I just thought, this is just some beautiful, I was into literature, philosophy. This is really, really beautiful. I want to hear more. But I don't want to change my lifestyle. However, that changes once you have prasadam and you associate with devotees. So by coming to contact with a devotee of Krishna, we get that mercy, that we wake up. And this is what Devahuti is alluding to, that because her association with Kapila Muni, who was very advanced in his practice, and her as well. But she's saying that by associating with a devotee, that we can actually start seeing clearly. We can start seeing who we are, and we can start seeing the mature world for what it is in a healthy way and try to make progress. Due to transcendental intelligence, I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires, and I now come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. This is really... it speaks facts. It is true. There's no limit to our lusty desires. We associate with our material bodies, and there's so many identities we have created for ourselves. We have served these identities, these false conceptions. We have served them for so long, countless births. We have served them. And they have led to different types of happiness, distress, misery, illusion, madness, you name it. These designations have led us down the material whirlpool. And at times we never wanted to give it up because we're so obsessed with being the center of the universe. We're so obsessed with being God. Although we didn't necessarily walk around saying, I'm God, but the idea of being the most important thing, the most beautiful, the most handsome, or whatever it might have been, we had an obsession. But somehow or the other, as soon as we come in contact with the bona fide process of Krishna consciousness, all that becomes purified. We start to desire for Krishna's pleasure. And when Krishna is pleased through the devotee association, through our service, we in the heart also become pleased. So Devahuti is trying to teach us this lesson that we should increase our interest in our relationship with Krishna through service, through hearing. And we should see the inconveniences of material existence for what they are. You know, happiness and distress, they come and go. Happiness in this material world is so short-lived. So short, like a split of a second. That's why there's so much variety all the time coming up. Whether it's phones or gadgets. There's now an iPhone 7, right? i7s, whatever. Samsung will release something. There's a new iWatch, right? In a few months something else will come up. Just so that we're constantly stimulated. Because the freshness wears out pretty quickly. So we should see these things. We might think, yes, a new gadget we can use in Krishna's service, of course. But just thinking of the biggest theme here. All this variety is meant to elude us to think, oh, there's so much nectar to be had in the material world. Just see how much variety we have. Just see them at the clothing shops we have. There's so many and they sell the same thing. Just see how much makeup is the same thing. Just see how many clubs is the same thing. Look at the variety of alcohol. It's the same thing. It is the actual same thing in a different wrapping paper. Alcohol is alcohol. Intoxication is intoxication. It's just vile. It's made of the same substance. It's just terrible. Clothes are clothes. Pay $10, pay $200, it's clothing. But we see this variety and we think, this is it. There's so much variety. It's so dynamic. The material world is dynamic. Yay, material existence. Well, up until next week when something else happens. So we just need to see and accept these facts and see just how inconvenient we are in the material world. And by understanding that, we will naturally increase our attachment for Krishna. And this whole game we've been playing of trying to be the Lord and Master or the center or trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, that will fade away. The more we take to Krishna's holy name, glorifying Krishna, serving Krishna, associating with the devotees, serving the Bhagavatam by hearing and studying, then this exploitive mentality of using the material nature for our soul benefit, it will go away. And what is real and what is eternal will come to the surface, that we are parts and parcels of Krishna, and we are servants of Krishna. And that is what makes the living entity happy. Not the temporary, not with that which is asat. So I'll stop here and I'll ask if any comments, questions, or corrections. Okay, please.
Such a discourse. I'm not sure how to articulate this. For me, at least, without Lucitana, unconditionally giving that taste of Krishna consciousness, I would be unable to up or down and do all these things.
Okay, so for those of you listening at home, the question or the comment is, without Lord Chaitanya, how it's actually termed, I think, of Ramnath Swami, without the Panchatattva, opening the storehouse of love of God and flooding the entire universe, it would be actually difficult for us to take to Krishna consciousness. Is that what you're saying? That is a bona fide fact. It is there in Shastra. If we start reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Adi Lila, it explains how Lord Chaitanya and the members of the Panchatattva, they broke open the storehouse of love of God, and they plundered that storehouse. They tasted and they relished, and the more they relished, the more they wanted to give Krishna. So also, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that in this Kali Yuga, in general, it is difficult, nearly impossible, to attain Krishna without going through Lord Chaitanya. That is why Srila Prabhupada made it a point that we have Gauranitai deities, because really, we're not qualified to approach Krishna, Radha and Krishna directly. By the mercy of Lord Nityananda, the original Guru, and Lord Chaitanya, we're able to approach Lord Krishna. That's just a fact, actually, that by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, the Sankirtan movement has been expanding and expanding. So yes, the Panchatattva, they inundated the whole world with love for Krishna. And all the members, whomever they came across, the same thing happened. When you taste that love of God, you want to give it. So yes, without going through Lord Chaitanya, it is very difficult to attain Krishna. And that is our process. That is why we chant Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Srivasta Gaura Dhurunda. And also Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chanuja and Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, and all the other devotees who are associates of Lord Chaitanya. So we get Lord Chaitanya's protection and mercy. Yes, Mataji. Okay, so the question is, you know, every day we're going through life and problems will be there, and we have to fix these problems, whether it's at home, relationships, work, etc. So should we just leave these and let it be and then just come to the temple, do our service? Well, in this setting, because you're practicing Krishna consciousness, your home life is actually meant to be Krishna consciousness. So it's vital that we make our home Krishna's home, so we try to have a conducive environment for Krishna consciousness. That is a service in itself, that our family life is an example. Because majority of people in Kali Yuga, they will be family people. So if we don't have a good or a healthy home life, and people see that, it's like, I don't know if I can practice this because this example doesn't show me that it's possible. So yes, we have to balance things, not that we become immature and impersonal, that we don't deal with issues. Yes, we give sufficient time to our family life, or if you're single, to your work and whatever it might be, but we never neglect our service to the deities or to Krishna, whether we have service here or anywhere else or some type of outreach. That also goes on, because that will give us the strength actually to deal with that. Our hearing, our chanting, our glorification gives us strength to be able to see properly and fix the situation that we're in. But if we're just engulfed in our own problems, we'll just keep getting more and more engulfed, and before you know it, you won't have time for anything else. So make sure that our sadhana is also there, our service is there, because that is our strength. But we're not neglectful of our family, especially if it's a devotee family. We shouldn't be neglectful. So try the best to balance, and if needed, take guidance for those who've been doing what you're doing for longer, and they can help you maintain that balance. Okay, the question is, you know, we're practicing Bhakti Yoga, and here Kapila Muni is speaking to Devahuti about this process of Sankhya, making the distinction between matter and spirit. How is it relevant for us while we're hearing about it? Well, it is relevant in as much as it's relevant for Maitreya and Vidura to converse about this, and Sutta Goswami and all the other sages. Because it helps us understand, make the distinction, who is Purusha and who is Prakriti. There's one Purusha, Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Ara Savya Pritya. There is one Ishvara, there is one Purusha, there is one who enjoys, and that is Krishna. Ara Savya Pritya, and all others are his servants. So when we understand this distinction between matter and spirit, it helps us see, okay, we're actually Prakriti. We're meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. Krishna is the control of both matter and spirit. So Kapila Dev, Kapila Muni, is teaching us the science, yes, of Sankhya, but with Bhakti. I just mentioned earlier on, from the CC, that this chapter in the CC where Lord Chaitanya is explaining the process of devotional service, and further on he elucidates on Kama Kanda, Jnana Kanda, that actually if you do not practice those processes with Bhakti, you don't get any real result. So here, why are we hearing about Sankhya philosophy? Because it deals with Prakriti and Purusha, and we need to understand that we are not Purusha. We need to understand who the real Purusha is, who is the Prakriti, and how we can have this proper relationship. We are the enjoyed, Krishna is the enjoyer. And as soon as we realize that, we will save ourselves a whole lot of trouble. So it also helps us to understand the tattva of Krishna. Because there's a tattva to Krishna, there's the rasa aspect to Krishna. That his tattva, yes, he's the supreme controller, maintainer, etc. And he has multifarious potencies. And those potencies maintain, sustain the material and spiritual cosmos. And when we have that perspective, yes, we can understand Govinda Mahi Purusham, Tamaham Bhajam. Yes, you are this. You are the supreme. But if you don't understand even how he navigates through the material energy, you might just think anyone can become God, anyone can claim. But Krishna is telling us how he's doing everything. And the Sankhya Yoga philosophy helps us understand in terms of Prakriti and Purush, the difference between also matter and spirit. So that's why we have to hear it. And as much as we hear about the different dynasties which are related to Krishna, everything is in relation to Krishna. Okay, I'm going to stop here because I think I've gone over time. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you very much for your time.